Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really glad to have with me once again Ivan Bebek, the Executive Chairman of RN Resources. Ivan has had more than 16 years of experience in financing foreign negotiations and acquisitions in mineral exploration industry, and he and his partner, Sean Wallace, have had a remarkable career. They're both young men yet, but they've had a couple of significant successes in which they've made a lot of money for shareholders, and with that track record, I've certainly jumped on board, bought the stock myself. It is a recommendation in my newsletter, RN Resources, because I believe that this time could be bigger and better than the past because, well, there's just a lot of things for the company, a lot of targets, really spectacular targets to shoot at, and so I'm really glad to have you. Thanks for joining me again, Ivan.
Well, thanks for having me back, Jay. It's a pleasure to be here.
Always good to have you on the show to talk about RN because it is a remarkable story. The stock has been somewhat disappointing, I suppose, to some of us who are used to having nothing but gains when we invest in your stocks in the past, your companies that you've had it up. But before we get started, I should tell our listeners you trade in Toronto and on the New York Exchange. AUG is the symbol for both exchanges. 78.5 million shares trading. Oh, we're a little bit before we went on the show at $1.56 in U.S. money, giving a market cap around $122 million U.S. dollars. Well, last year was a big year for you guys, but let's be honest, the gold market as a whole and the obvious nature of discoveries that you are trying to make, big things that you're looking at, did not quite happen yet. And yet, you seem to me to be as ambitious and confident and continue to buy the shares of your stock as much as ever. How do you feel about how last year went?
Well, it was a great year for us internally and on a technical basis. We had a huge undertaking with what we set out to go drill. And, you know, we started with a great investment from Goldcorp in January, where they bought in at about a $35 million investment, which is a great validation to the big look that we're after, right? And when you look at our portfolio, I sort of talk about it as the big four and projects, meaning Committee Bay, Sombrero, Gibson's McCoyd, and Banos del Indio. These are the kind of projects, Jay, where you could find 10 or 20 billion plus ounces of gold in the next few years. And what we've learned up north from last year was it's not going to be easy to go find something that big. And, you know, as you eloquently put, most of our stocks have continually gone up once we start having success and things move forward quite readily. This year we had more discrete discoveries, and you know, I hate to use the word, but I have to here, but there was a lot of technical successes that happened in that program up north. Mm-hmm. And what's good about a technical success is it's not a technical failure, and that means you keep going back, and we're getting a lot closer. I mean, what I've said to a few people recently is the hole we did hit at this target called IVIC, which just happens to be next to our infrastructure, it's better than the first hole that was drilled at Meliadine, which became 11 million ounces of 7 grams. Mm-hmm. I don't want to tell you how excited and how well our share price could do if we got into something that big, but there's a lot of analogous features between the two, and I've talked about it before. The second point I'll make is the second half of last year, as you know, has been very difficult for gold, junior gold companies. We had, you know, the tech market taken off. The kind of casino gamblers were jumping on to the Bitcoin, the cryptocurrencies, and the gold mm-hmm. market was left in the dust. So it kind of accentuated an oversell in our space. If, yeah. you know, investors were to take the time and say, you know, what did you really find? And are you guys getting closer to stuff at Committee Bay? We are 100% getting closer. And then if you look at our Homestake Ridge project, where we drilled a decent hole, again, it's not a barn burner, but it was 30 meters of 2 grams or so. This identified a new ore plunge at the end of the program. And this was our first time on the project. One thing we did make a promise to shareholders on was that we were going to go for new discoveries. You know, there's a good line by Rick Rule I heard the other day on BNN. I believe it goes something along the lines of, I'd rather invest into a company that drills and misses on a major target versus drilling and hitting on a small target. And that's basically the theme of our outcome. So, you know, the appeal is certainly there. There's going to be some big additions this year of which projects we get to drill. We'll talk about in Peru and whatnot that are coming online. But ultimately, it's a portfolio of projects, and we're just getting started, and we're in a lot better shape than we were a year ago before Goldcorp invested, from a technical perspective and from being able to deliver that first bona fide major discovery.
Right. So you have, you know, I think a lot of people probably just aren't really focused on the fact that you have a whole portfolio of outstanding targets. You've also added a lot of good people since the days I first followed you with Caden, a company that you had success with before. But you have, you've really only worked on 3 of 7 projects so far. So, I mean, I suppose you're going to be, you know, once the market heats up for gold, I think it's turning. Michael Oliver assures me of that, and it seems to be the case. You're going to have more people willing to look, at least, and to look at what you've got going. But you've really only done work on 3 of 7 projects, I guess, right? So, and you're going to have some stuff coming out from Peru, which is really exciting to me, because last year at this time we'd have to just sit through the winter and wait for you to get for things to warm up at Committee Bay. But talk to us a little bit about what you've got going in Peru and what people might be looking forward to over the next few weeks and months.
So it's you hit the nail on the head there. The portfolio is still in the very early stages of being explored by a great technical team. What we started drilling in back in the fall, the end of the quarter of the fall going into the winter, was this project called Huiocoyo. Huiocoyo sits very close by to a mine called Pucamarca. It's about 2 million ounces of oxide. But here's a remarkable fact about that mine that I'm sure not too many people are aware of. Their cash cost of production is about $313 per ounce.
Mm, wow.
And I'll challenge you to think of all the juniors you follow and bigger companies that you follow, majors as well. And where do you find something that profitable? Huiocoyo has some past drilling in it. There's oxide gold in the top of a hill, you know, arguably maybe 100 to 200,000 ounces, anywhere from 0.5 gram to 1 gram. The mine next door is mining that cash cost of $313 per ounce at 0.5 gram average grade. So we're kind of drilling something that's going to have some very, very positive near-term value based on whatever we find there. And we've now drilled 3 holes. We have 2 more planned to complete this month. But as we drill, and you know, you get a chance to see, you know, the right rocks. Are you in them or not? And, you know, we've seen tons of faulting. We've seen a lot of hydrothermal breccia. These are the rocks that would host that very, very, very profitable type of oxide mineralization that would produce at a very, you know, potentially produce at a very low cash cost per ounce. What we don't know about Huiocoyo is we don't know how big it could be yet. There's 3 aspects of it that paint targets, and conservatively we think it could be similar to what's next door at 2 million ounces, but if it's something that mines at a cash cost of 300-ish per ounce, that's going to be a spectacular, valuable deposit for us. One other thing going on in Peru, Jay, and this is something that I'm starting to lose sleep on, is our Sombrero project is finally starting to come online. It looks like we'll have access to it in February. Sombrero is about 200 kilometers west of a series of Peru's largest deposits, Las Bambas, Tintaya, Anticapay, some of these major gold, copper, porphyry, and skarn targets. Right. And what we've done so far in a 2-week season about a year ago in Sombrero, as we were starting to negotiate communities, we got some of the most spectacular gold and copper numbers off the surface, you know, from anywhere from 0.2 up to 7.5 grams gold in several places, up to 16% copper. And then we, you know, were quietly in the background while we were drilling up north. We went and staked a whole bunch more land around Sombrero because we feel it in itself could host a major district-style potential. And just a bit of a reminder to the listeners that Las Bambas was bought for $5.8 billion. Altogether, it was $7 billion with infrastructure, about $5.8 billion back in 2014 when we sold Caden. So this, for me, is something that is going to come online in the near term. There'll be a lot of surface work that will lead towards the drill program. There's some major structural components we're already aware of, where the right rocks are beside each other, you know, to be real simple about it, and the mineralization is shedding off these big structures. This project likely comes to a drill-ready state by the end of the summer, but I would say it's up there with Committee Bay and maybe 2 or 3 things being found at Committee Bay. That's how good Sombrero is for us. So as we go into 2018, the drills are turning. Results will start coming out in February. one of our major projects, our Giants in Peru, comes online in February. And so now we've get to work on both ends. And, you know, the other thing, Jay, I'll point out real quick is the drilling is going to resume at Committee Bay at the end of March, which is about 10 weeks from today. And this drilling that we're going to do, it's going to go challenge the discovery we made, and it's also going to start increasing the resource, which is about 1.3 million ounces of almost 8 grams per ton. This drilling is probably going to be one of the most watch drill programs in the entire industry, because we're drilling underneath a hole that was better than the first hole at Meliadine. The scope of the target is 7 kilometers long. It's huge. Doesn't mean we're going to hit, and there's a very good likely chance that there's risk involved and it takes a few more holes, but, you know, to kind of ensure our value for our shareholders and so we don't get punished in the share price, not only will we have Peru coming online, but we're going to be drilling around three bluffs where we're going to start to make that resource bigger by drilling the ore shoots that support it. So I think the hit rate's going to be dramatically better for us this year. We're going to be a lot more specific up north of where we drill. We're not going to run before we walk, meaning we're going to methodically go through our projects. We're not going to finance for all the whole year in one shot. And we're going to take our bets in the marketplace, and we're going to go with a bit of confidence that we're going to get some great numbers out of Peru as we go and potentially hit it out of the park with Committee Bay.
Well, that's what's exciting, is you're going to have things to talk about year-round. Can you work year-round on those projects in Peru, or will you focus mostly on North America during our winter and down there?
Usually there's a rainy season that can interfere, and that would be between February and March. You'd have to take a break, which is healthy to do in any good program, so you can process the drilling that you did at the end of the year previously. One thing that just happened in the news in Peru is they've passed some very favorable exploration laws in terms of drill permitting. So now when you permit your first 20 holes, you don't have to give them the collar locations, which is what we had to do last year. You actually can drill anywhere you want within the box of the area that you get permitted. This is going to dramatically make Peru much more appealing from exploration. And, you know, where it sits at Huayllacollo, under the current permit, we can drill 20 holes, but we had to give the example of where those were.
That makes it a lot easier then, for sure. Let me ask you this. How is your treasury now? You're going to be a very aggressive drill program. How are you going to finance that?
Well, the program we're going to do at Committee Bay, it's only $6.5 million at Committee Bay. And so it's not a big program up at Committee Bay. As far as our G&A and the stuff we're going to continue doing in Peru, I don't think we're going to need a lot of money in the first half. I know we won't need a lot of money in the first half of the year. I think what we plan to do is, as Peru results are coming out in February, we plan to do a very aggressive roadshow to kind of go nationwide as well as into Europe this time for the first time. And there's been a lot of interest overseas to hear us and see us. And I think we're going to finance in a very anti-dilutive manner. We're not going to take as much money that likely gets offered. And we're going to come back to market a second time based on how the results go, you know, this spring going into the summer programs, which would be another round of Committee Bay and getting ready for the Sombrero drill program. I don't see a point of why we would go and drill Committee Bay or raise money for a drill program that's not going to happen for 6 months yet. I think gold is, you know, the best critics for gold is they're saying gold won't do spectacular until next year. To me, that tells me that the smart money will come into this probably in the middle of this year. And that's where I think, you know, based on some moderate success out of Committee Bay, and we're drilling underneath the discovery hole, and the Peru drilling is going really well so far, I think we're going to get a chance to re-rate and possibly competitive with our prices. But also, we do have the Homestake Ridge project, which is the high-grade project in BC. We are drilling this thing in Peru next to a producing mine, which, you know, a toll milling scenario would be very feasible if we did start to find ounces. There are self-financing opportunities within our portfolio. The next funding we do may be our last funding we do, and it might be fairly moderate, right?
All right. Well, all I can say is I'm looking at a chart of your share price, and last July you were selling about twice of where you are right now, in spite of the fact that your fundamentals are getting better. So all I can say is I wished I had spent more money buying shares at these levels than I did at higher levels, but I think it's all going to work out. I think it's all going to work out well. That's why I'm continuing to pound the table for my subscribers. Anything else you'd like to say? We are basically out of time here, Ivan,
yeah,
but anything else?
Yeah, just one last note, and you know, I'll say, as this is our third company, Jay, we're not trying to double or triple the stock on a discovery and return that for investors. We're going for the big one, and it may take longer. I think that the hard part has happened last year. I think this year could be tremendously more revealing for us, and we could deliver something that would be, you know, meaningful, you know, the big 10 times your money or possibly more based on our current projects and where the gold market's headed. But, yeah, we're very bullish going into 2018, and we're looking very forward to how things are going to go.
Well, I'm looking forward also to seeing you at the Metals Investor Forum here in a couple of days from now. So thank you so much for being with us, Ivan, and we'll look to do it again sometime in the near future.
Thank you very much, Jay. All the best.